Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And with me this week is Julie Roth Carter, and we'll be discussing native plants. Welcome back to the show.
Hi Ross, it's great to be here again.
Mm-hmm. So what are the primary benefits to gardening with native plants?
I like to think about the whole overall really big picture of native plants and why they're so important to a particular ecosystem, I guess. These plants have co-evolved with all of the other elements of our ecosystem over eons, you know. So that means the flora and the fauna, but it also means our climates, our soils, and those kinds of things too. So to me, these plants are really just meant to be here. But if you think specifically about some of the benefits for growing native plants, again, because they have grown up with our native soils, they're adapted to our soils. Some of our native plants can even grow in quite well in sandy soils, believe it or not. And we, of course, have acidic soils as well, so these plants are adapted to that. Another important aspect, I think, is that they're adapted to our weather. We have rain, and then boom, in July, the rains stop, and then we have this period of absolute drought until maybe September. So think about that. These poor plants, you know, they've been used to soaking rains for 9 months almost, and then they're in a drought condition. So these plants have adapted to that and can do quite well once they're established without any additional irrigation. But I would say they must be irrigated when they're first trying to get established. Mm-hmm. The other thing to think about is that they support our local wildlife, and that includes our pollinators. I was foraging in a fern the other day, and this beautiful 10-inch alligator lizard came out to say hello to me. So just another great example of providing some habitat for that lovely creature in our environment.
Mm-hmm. Like a puzzle piece fitting right into the puzzle.
I think that's a great way to put it, Ross. All of these things are meant to be together, mm-hmm. just like a puzzle, just like you said. That was great. They are considered non-invasive, so native plants considered non-invasive, which is important to us. Because they've adjusted to our soils and our weather, they're low maintenance. So once they get established, these plants will just take care of themselves. And I just think they're beautiful. And they just should be here. They're pieces of the puzzle, as you just said, and they belong here.
Absolutely. So how can you find out if a plant that you want to grow is native to the area that you're gardening in?
That's a great question. And I have to tell you, I can't believe it, but just recently I've discovered this website called OregonFlora.org. And it's a comprehensive guide to about 4,800 native plants here in Oregon. And it's based in the Department of Botany and Plant Pathology at Oregon State University. So you have to see it. Your listeners, once they get into this, are just going to go crazy. You can just get lost in it. So for example, I wanted to know, I'm have this fascination right now with a ground cover called Bunchberry. And so it's supposed to be native to Oregon, but I've never seen it in my hikes, that kind of thing. So I was like, I wonder where this plant is. So I go into Oregon Flora, type in Bunchberry, and very similar to iNaturalist, it comes up and shows you where it's been located in your ecoregion. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it's 7 miles from my house. So I feel pretty good about having Bunchberry in my yard then.
That is a neat tool.
Yeah, it's great. Once you get into it, you will get sucked right into it.
Fascinating.
You know, the other thing about it too, I forgot to mention, it also has lots of resources, one of which is the type of landscape that you're going for. So if you have a wetland garden, or if you want to have a prairie garden, it lists all of the hundreds of plants that would be appropriate for that type of garden as well.
Yeah, because it's not just locality, it's the small little microbiomes and biomes as well. We have many even in Lincoln County.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's always goes back to right plant, right place, mm-hmm. which is what you're talking about too.
Absolutely. Are you more of a bog or a prairie or a dune or a forested area?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
Believe me, the many times that I've tried to outsmart Mother Nature planting a plant in the wrong place, I always pay for it.
So. Yes, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So some native plants have cultivars that have been sort of changed to bloom a certain way or look slightly different. Does that fit into the ecosystems the same way as the sort of wild type cultivar?
Yeah. That question is continuing to be studied, but one of the recent publications I read from the Garden Ecology Lab at Oregon State University, they looked at the straight species. So, for example, like red flowering currant, which is Ribes sanguineum, and then compared it to cultivars, several different cultivars of the straight species. And they did this for a bunch of different plants. And what they found, for the most part, is that pollinators, for example, if you're interested in supporting pollinators, prefer the straight species. Mm. So in terms of pollinators, then, they recommend that you avoid cultivars and stick with the wild-type straight species if you want to support them.
There's a lot of factors.
Yes, there are. And, you know, the thing about it is that humans, we cultivate plants because for some particular characteristic that we like. So, for example, a flower in the native species might just be single-petaled. Well, that's better for the pollinators. They can get to the nectar easier that way. But we, as humans, want to have showier flowers with many, many petals. And so the cultivar may have more of a rose-like looking structure, actually. Mm-hmm. But that's not best for the pollinators.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite Lincoln County native plants?
Well, so I mentioned that sweet little ground cover bunchberry that I just love, and it's Cornus unileschensis. It's a lovely little ground cover, really bright green leaves, these sweet four-petaled flowers. And so I'm getting that going. It likes to be in a moist woodland garden area. I have to always say, I've already mentioned it once, but red currant, Ribes sanguineum, and it's just about done blooming now. But one of the things I love about it, it's a deciduous shrub with red to pink pendulous flowers, but it's one of the first things that comes flowers in my yard. I'm also really lucky to have inherited a patch, what I call a patch of Trillium, Trillium ovatum.
Oh, yes.
I know.
They're so special.
They're so special. It's just, and here's the deal. Everybody tells you, just don't touch it because they don't like to be transplanted, don't like to be fussed with. So I just let it do its thing. And I have quite a nice patch of it now. And there's lots of babies there too. Last year I did try to dig up a couple of babies. Even though people say not to do it, I went ahead and tried. And I have two that made it. So we'll see if I can get those transplanted into another area in the garden. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last one we took was a Western azalea. So I have a couple of Western azaleas in my yard as well. Beautiful trumpet-shaped flower with orange to pinkish centers, and it smells like vanilla.
Really?
And they're really gorgeous too. So those are just a few things. I like to have something blooming all season long.
Absolutely. And it really shows that there is no sacrifice in terms of aesthetics and enjoyment when you pick native plants.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you should say that, Russ, because at first I was worried about that a little bit, because I've historically liked a pretty neat garden, and I'm giving some of that up, although you don't have to give up all of it. You know, there is a happy medium. And I've kind of looked towards a couple of research articles that talked about, like, how many native plants do you need to incorporate into your garden to have the benefits. And I've read anywhere from, like, 40% of your garden should be native up to 70% of your garden should be native. So, again, there's continuing to do research on this. But I think for me, I was like, you know, there's a few things I can still have, like my hydrangeas.
Yeah.
And then the rest will be native.
Kind of thing. You don't have to dig up and get rid of your favorite non-native species to still be supporting local ecosystems.
Yeah. And I try to keep to natives now as I'm adding plants back into my garden.
Mm-hmm. So are there different plants that people should pick for a container garden rather than an in-ground garden?
I was thinking about this a little bit. Depends on the size of your container.
Yes.
And where the container is going to be located too. So if it's a woodland container, let's say, and it's a nice size container, I think I think you could plant a huckleberry and have a nice huckleberry shrub in your container and then have berries. That's great. And you can keep it trimmed. And I even read someone had a vine maple, which can grow like to 20 feet tall, but he keeps his trimmed back nicely in a container. And he says it's just beautiful because it gives him beautiful fall color. I think the sky's kind of the limit, and you can use your own creativity as long as you understand what you're working with and where it's going to be located. I think the sky's the limit.
And it's going to have slightly different care needs than those in the ground, less extensive root network. But that's just basics of container gardening rather than native container gardening. So now that people are all riled up to find some native plants, where can people source native plants in Lincoln County?
Well, I have one exciting thing to tell you about is that the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, we have our annual plant sale May 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we do have a native plant section, and these are all propagated with cuttings or seed, and we will have probably over 350, 400 plants.
Wow.
So come see us, and we love to talk about native plants. And then we also have local, our local nurseries in this area have native plant sections at the nurseries.
Are there any last little interesting facts that you have about native plants that you'd like to share?
I thought it might be useful just to go back to Latin names. I don't know if this is interesting. This may not be
it's
interesting
useful.
To your our listeners or not. But, you know, when you're looking for a native plant, you should look at the tags. It will be italicized. There'll be two words. The first word will be capitalized. And the first word is the genus. And the second name is the species. And when you are looking for native plants, you want the genus and the species. You will often see other things after that. So they could be cultivars, they could be subspecies. But if you want the straight species, it's two words, italicized, the genus and the species. So in terms of resources, one of the great resources I want to share with our listeners is a publication catalog from Oregon State Extension. It's a wide variety of scientifically based research articles and publications, and the address for that is extension.oregonstate.edu/catalog. And for example, one of the publications that I like to refer people to a lot is Gardening with Oregon Native Plants West of the Cascades. And you can find that simply by going to this website and just typing in Gardening with Oregon Native Plants. That's it. That's what I got.
That's fantastically useful. Thank you very much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Now let's get into some seasonal gardening information. Planting flowering and pollinator-attracting plants is a great way to create more sustainable and enjoyable gardens, and it also supports vegetable and fruit gardens as well. Lots of plants rely on pollinators for germination, including squash, melons, and apples, so attracting pollinators to your yard will boost yields. Great plant picks include California poppies, which self-seed each year once established, which may be a pro or a con based on your garden. Douglas asters are also hardy and have lovely light purple flowers, or globe gilia, which are perennial flowers in Lincoln County that bloom earlier than many other flowers. If you're growing plants for pollinators, either just to create a pollinator garden or to use pollinator plants to increase crop yields, you have to be extra cautious about using any pesticides in your garden as they can harm pollinators. Attempt alternate pest management strategies preferentially, including manually removing pests like picking caterpillars off a broccoli plant, and try to prevent conditions that attract garden pests, like incorrectly watering plants. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening.